As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture this morning, there are two passages I'd like to share with you, one from the fifth chapter of Ephesians, and the second from John's Gospel, words from the sixth chapter. If you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Hear these words from Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then from John, Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And so Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. May God's blessings rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray for your sense of peace and rest and comfort. O God, from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come, may we have your peace. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. It seems that we're kind of in a holding pattern over the last few weeks and a few weeks to come on eating and Jesus being the bread of life. McDonald's opened in 1954. In 1968, McDonald's operated about 1,000 restaurants. How many of you have ever worked at a McDonald's? Wow. You know, that's fascinating. Last night there was one person. At early service there was one person, and now there's two. That's interesting statistically because it's estimated that one out of eight Americans has worked at a McDonald's. So this congregation does not fit that bill. Today, there are over 35,000 McDonald's restaurants worldwide, and one opens roughly every 4 hours. A brand new store every 4 hours. 68 million people are served daily at McDonald's throughout the 118 countries where they are established. The company annually trains more new workers than the U.S. Army. McDonald's is the largest nation's purchaser of beef and potatoes. It's the second largest purchaser of poultry. Well, instead of we're just not one-sided for McDonald's, I don't know who the number one purchaser of chicken is, but we'll give Chick-fil-A some airtime today. But don't go to Chick-fil-A today. You'll be waiting in line till tomorrow morning. A whole new breed of chickens was developed to facilitate the production of chicken McNuggets. Not sure about that one. The McDonald's Corporation is the largest owner of retail property in the world. And the company earns the majority of its profits not from selling food, but from collecting rent. McDonald's spends more advertising and marketing than does any other brand, and much of it is targeted at children. A survey of American school children found that 96% could identify Ronald McDonald. Remember the great commercial about a year ago? What company got Ronald McDonald's from all over the country to do their advertisements for him? Taco Bell. When they developed their new breakfast foods, they went around and got all the Ronald McDonald's in the country to do those commercials. That is brilliant. One of them I know. He's the funeral director up in Kane, Pennsylvania. It was fascinating to say, yes, it's the Ronald McDonald funeral home. 96% of our children recognize Ronald McDonald. The only fictional character with a higher degree of recognition is Santa Claus. The impact of McDonald's on the nation's culture, economy, and diet is hard to overstate. Its corporate symbol, the Golden Arches, is now more widely recognized than the Christian cross. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. There's something wrong in our world, in our community, in our families, when McDonald's, who's been around for some 61 years, is more widely recognized than the Christian cross, which has been around for over 2,000 years. When critics wanted to get at Jesus, they called him a glutton. They called him a glutton because that meant that you were someone who would eat with anyone at any time. Jesus broke all kinds of dietary rules and regulations. He didn't even make his disciples properly wash their hands before eating. Jesus ate, it seems, all the time. Many important conversations occurred around the table having a meal. When Jesus wanted to show someone that he wanted to get to know them more, that they were important to him, he said, I want to have a meal in your house. He called Levi, the tax collector, to be one of his disciples. And then he followed him to his home and had a meal with Levi and his other tax collector friends. When he met Zacchaeus, the one who had swindled his brothers and sisters in the faith collecting taxes, Jesus said, "Get down out of that tree. I want to come to your house and have a meal." It's probably a good thing that Jesus walked everywhere that he went and that his meal was a lot different than our meals, or he certainly wouldn't be that neat, trim, and thin Jesus that we have pictures of. In Jesus' hand, we know that if a small meal, 5 loaves and 2 fish, was enough to feed a crowd. And we know that when Jesus wanted to show his disciples how deeply he loved and cared for them, how close they needed to be to him, he said, "I am the true food. I am the true drink. I'm not junk food. Do you want to live? I'm the food that gives life." Of course, we know that we need food for our bodies. Good food. Real food. And we like to eat at least 3 square meals a day, or we're supposed to, with maybe a little bit of grazing going on in between. And we know that eating a meal together seals our friendships. Now, the tradition in our church over the few years has developed that we come to the table and receive communion once a month. How many of you grew up receiving communion once a quarter? Mine was always in the pew. How many of you grew up maybe in a faith where you received communion weekly? You probably came forward. In the United Methodist Church, then, we've shifted now where it's kind of monthly. Anybody have any idea why, if you grew up Methodist or United Methodist, you had communion on a quarterly basis? Well, you remember our history. The church was started by the circuit riders. They had so many churches that it took them 3 months to make that circuit. You had communion every time the preacher was in town, which happened to be about once a quarter. And so that was the tradition that developed even when more and more clergy became available and more churches had full-time clergy. They still just developed that habit of once a quarter. But we're changing that because we realize the importance of communing with one another. We need to remind ourselves that just as we receive food every day to keep us going, we need to be fed on Christ to keep us going. For 1 hour, we set time aside on a monthly basis to come and to commune and to receive the real food of Jesus Christ. And once a year, we set a time aside, the first Sunday in October, when we have World Communion and commune with our brothers and sisters around the world and unite our hearts and our spirits together. But who comes to the table? You know, if we think about it, a lot of people come to the table limping. We think about our brothers and sisters around the world where there are places where there is tension and turmoil, where Christian homes and churches are devastated by violence, where clergy have been murdered, prophets massacred, where societies are in chaos, where they know what it is to see bodies broken and bloodshed. We know in the midst of our own communities, there are those who have experienced floods and fires and earthquakes, whose lives now begin the process of rebuilding. But we also know in our own churches of those in our midst who have lost their jobs, who overeat in their stress, who try to eat to gain a sense of security or self-worth. Jesus says, come. Eat the bread, drink from the cup, and you will have life that lasts longer than any jobs, life that lasts longer than any stress, life that lasts longer than any turmoil that we go through. It's here that Jesus asks us to stop, to slow down for a few moments, and to remember. To remember that in his presence and in his words, this is a banquet indeed to savor, to receive, and to realize that not only is that a precious meal when we receive communion, but every meal that we receive around a table Monday through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is indeed a meal that is to be set aside where we are in fellowship and communion with one another and with Almighty God as well. To realize that whether we are at home eating or at work eating or in a restaurant eating, we'll realize that the presence of Christ is there also. And that that bread broken, that drink poured, that it's also real food that we need for eternal life, and that that is a holy food as well. Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. See, the banquet of Almighty God can only be complete when everyone is welcome and we share that holy meal with one another. A meal that gives us energy to physically and spiritually carry on in the work that Jesus Christ, Almighty God, and the Holy Spirit gives to each and every one of us. Someone said a few years ago that the church at its best is a place where people bring their deepest hungers and are fed. Real food for our bodies and our souls, and from which, being filled, we leave to offer real food to the world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, called to offer real food to the world, physical food, spiritual food. Oh God, continue to bless each and every one of us as we faithfully seek to offer food to the world. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.